ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 33 of Beyond Retro. I'm Nathan Kennedy, joined by Joe Amato, and from a special exotic location, Tyler Baker. Today's episode, we're talking about Cobra Kai, the revival. Karate Kid is back, and it's fantastic. And I want to say at the beginning here, this is not going to be a spoiler-free podcast on this show. We're going to discuss all of it, so if you don't want it to be spoiled, go check out the show, then come listen to us. And I would recommend, because they do give you a 30-day free trial. If you don't want to pay the $10 a month, start the free trial YouTube Red, and then go ahead and cancel it. 10 episodes. We all binge-watched it pretty much in an evening. So, Tyler, you're in your little special location. How is all that going so far? I know you've only been down there like a day, but give us the details.
It's been quite nice. I'm here live in Holden Beach, North Carolina, which is about 40 minutes away from Myrtle Beach. And I got the beautiful pool here behind me, and the ocean is just across the street from me right here. The ocean would have been an ideal background for this, but just couldn't make it work. A little too noisy. So I just figured back here by the pool is a nice little location. The weather's been great, and I'm just kind of playing by ear. I don't know if we're going to get rain, if we do, or whatever, and all that stuff. So just most of the family's on the beach. I got family upstairs hanging out upstairs with the little ones who are asleep. So pretty much just me back here all by myself by the pool.
He's got his own private pool, living the life.
Oh, we got an elevator. We've got two balconies. I got my own room with my own bathroom.
So and we have to say, too, that he was going to be in costume. Yes. He did have plans to wear a Cobra Kai tank top and, like, a headband and everything, but none of it came in on time. This shirt is old as shit, so it is falling apart, and I need a new one. And I was going to have some of the Coors Banquet beers, but I drank last night, and I woke up today, and I was kind of looking like Johnny Lawrence there at the beginning, where he's just laying on the floor and... or on his bed, rather, and just like, oh, God. So, Joe, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. Just trying to hold back my excitement about this episode. I'm sure we're going to be probably saying things that we've already heard as to how everybody has described this new series, but we'll get to that in just a bit. But, no, I'm doing good. Like I said, I've just been hyped up, ready for this episode, because I, as you know, I'm not a binge watcher. But when I'm kind of under the gun of maybe having to pay something, then I will become a binge watcher. So I definitely had to, but I'll admit, even if I did, you know, like let's say I was paying for the whole service and the whole 30 days and kept YouTube Red, I think I still might have binge watched this. I couldn't help it. I kept wanting to go on to the next one and next one. Because, you know, it's like you felt like you were just involved in a movie more as a TV series. You know, it just felt like a very extended movie just in parts, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I feel like, honestly, if you're going to bring back properties now, go this way. Have a little TV miniseries. That way you're not relegated to condensing it down to 90 minutes. And I'm still amazed because I rewatched the first 4 episodes last night again. Like I think I've watched the series 2.5 times already. It still amazes me.
Yeah, what you're right. It's not like it's not being like nostalgic or nothing. I can honestly say, beyond me loving Stranger Things, this is probably the best TV series, whatever you want to call it, series that I've seen in years. I mean, they just everything they hit. They did it right. I mean, yes, it has some nostalgia for fans who love the original Karate Kid, but also a lot of new stuff, twists, turns. I mean, just parts that really had you hanging by. And I can't picture how they could have done it any better. I mean, I think what they did was absolute perfection. And if you were to bring back any type of 80s properties, 90s, whatever it may be, I hope people take notes from what they did with this series. Because we've seen, you know, shows try to return from the past and some things being remade into movies. And they just don't get it. Something always feels flat, feels off. They feel like they try to modernize it too much, that it just doesn't work. But what they did with this was the absolute perfect balance, no pun intended, you know, with parts in the show. But it's the perfect balance that I've ever seen in a series in years.
Hey, you're absolutely correct. Like, I think it's funny, too, Tyler, you probably did a little research on this, and I thought it was quite amusing that this is the creative team behind Harold and Kumar.
I when I found that out, I kind of felt like, oh my god, really?
Now, if you would have known that ahead of time.
Yeah, I don't think I would have given it a chance because I'm not a fan of, drug humor. Half Baked was good, but not because of the pot humor. It was just there was a lot of good jokes in the movie that weren't pot related. I'm just not into drug induced humor. I just think it's cheap, lazy writing. And Harold and Kumar, no, I was forced to watch part of the first one, so no, I would have probably given it a shot. But my expectations would have been like, they're going to screw this up royally. And you would never know that these are the guys behind Harold and Kumar and Hot Tub Time Machine, because you feel like, if you guys were this talented, why were you wasting your talents on, those kind of comedies? And I it's been a long time since I've watched something that's had such an impact on me after watching it, because I had to force myself to stop watching it when the show was dropped because it was getting late. I had to be up for work the next day, so I forced myself to leave the last three episodes to come home and watch the next day. And it was, what I got from this, it's what I'm lacking from current movies today, where I don't walk away out of the theater and I'm thinking about it over and over, and I'm going on the internet and doing research for it. I'm looking for the soundtrack. I'm looking to see any kind of tidbits I can find or interviews with the cast, because you're that engrossed in what you saw. And it's like Joe, I dare say I've been more excited about this than Game of Thrones. And Stranger Things, especially season two, was like, oh my God, I couldn't wait for this. I dare say this has probably had the biggest positive influence on me in terms of excitement. And I can't wait for more. I've gone back and rewatched it 2.5 times. I think I've got the last three episodes or last two episodes to finish watching again. And I still don't feel like I'm, probably when I finish this run, I probably have to take a break. Like, it's just that engrossing. You go back and you catch things here and there. And before we get into it, knowing they've already announced season two, and there's been hints. I don't know where Joe got his information. I had to go check down the actual source that Sean Cannon, who played Mike Barnes in part three, has said he's in season two. I don't know where Joe got his, but I heard it from Mike Barnes himself.
Me too. Yeah.
So you're not, it gets you excited about what's to come after you watch this, because you think, oh my God, this show could go in so many directions. But, people have been praising the hell out of it. It's a big hit. I figured if YouTube Rev's going to start anything, you couldn't have picked anything better than this. And I'm going to keep the service, because it's great not having to watch this dumbass Progressive and Geico commercials, just trying to watch a trailer or rewatch this show. You don't have to worry about commercials, and it's well worth keeping it, because when production goes in this fall, I'm sure we'll be getting teaser trailers and stuff like that, and I'll be glad I got it.
Well, they did a really good job at just promoting it too, like releasing the initial trailer, and then after that they released the little character profile things to sort of just introduce you to them before you could really dig into the series. So I had, when that trailer came out, I'm like, yeah, it looks good, but I have my doubts. And then I saw the little stuff, I'm like, well, maybe. And then I watched it and I'm just like, wow, I can't believe they fucking pulled it off. Like, it seems like it's becoming a harder task to do these days when you're bringing something back, because you want to throw out the tidbits of like, hey, you remember this, but you don't want to beat them over the head with it. And this show had that perfect balance of little sprinkles of nostalgia, little flashbacks, and that was it. It wasn't like, hey, you remember this, right? Over and over and over again. They took it and like just worked it around and into these new characters, it's still amazing. Like, I can't believe it. I'm gonna say that probably like 15, 20 more times during this episode. I still can't believe they fucking pulled it off.
Oh, and it certainly helps too that if they're going to tell a story that it's like Nathan said, it's not condensed into a 2-hour movie. But I also say it's a shame because they can't seem to make emotionally driven films that were as good as Karate Kid, which came out in '84, which was told in about a 2-hour time frame. But they can't make movies like that anymore because it's just people aren't taking the time to develop characters, and they're trying to do too many things in one film. Whereas at least with this format, you really get a chance to get to know all the main characters in this show. and we'll get into all of them from Miguel and Robbie and Sam and how Daniel and Johnny have progressed and things like that. But that's it really gives them an opportunity to make sure that what they're doing here is not spoiled by time limits. A lot of things that enhance the story aren't going to end up on the cutting room floor. 10 episodes, I feel like, you know what, it was a perfect mix. In 30 minutes apiece, I didn't feel like it was, we're seeing filler stuff or we're cut short. I felt like all the new characters plus the familiar faces were all given enough time to develop, and you really get to see a lot of changes or flaws or, you know, you just, when you think you got it figured out, you have nothing. And like, and it's amazing because it's the world of the Karate Kid. This is not Stranger Things or Game of Thrones where you've got, you know, all these like reveals and things like that. It's just, I mean, badass storytelling.
I always like that throughout the show too. Like when Johnny's trying to promote the dojo, he's like, it's never too old to learn how to kick some ass. And he's like, yeah, you got to be a badass. And I think one of my favorite things about it is it touches on a lot of society today. And you see, like, with him, he still has that mentality in a way that he had when he was younger in the first film back in 84. And he's not politically correct. You know, he calls these kids pussies, and he's like, we're going to, you got to man up, you got to, you know, and it's like, I have asthma, and he takes it out of Miguel's hand and like, not anymore. And he's like, all this made up shit. And it's tough not to like agree with that mentality that he has, because it, kids have been very
coddled.
Yes, exactly. And it was nice to see that. Like, this show didn't hold anything back, and I'm glad that they actually let them say shit and fuck and pussies, and like, because it's real talk. It's real life. It's not like it just seemed real, you know? Like, does that make sense?
He's damn believable, because you're right. You could tell he's like a product of his time and from like where he grew up. And the thought of, like, you know, how you said, he's calling them pussies, and, you know, he's talking about, you know, how people are tough online or on the internet, but, you know, maybe not in person. And, you know, it's like you said, maybe people are a little, like, coddled, sissified, you know, babied to where they're not tough. And all he's doing is trying to make them tough and have them tough for the real world. Maybe something that kids aren't really getting. And he's not doing with really absolutely abusing them, like how maybe some kids unfortunately might get beat at home by their parents. I mean, he's not like at this ass level, but he's doing some tough and extreme things at times, but things that make it, or it's making them tougher and a better person. So I like that perspective that they showed, because even with you thinking, like you said, it's just, what a redemption, just to show, like, you know, he's not really a bad guy. It's just shit happens, and then things might piss him off, and then it might make it seem like he's bad. They even show where it makes it look like Daniel's an asshole to him. Like, man, Daniel, you're really the prick and the dick and the cocky one. It's a different role reversal, but then it still balances out. But it's like, I still don't think he's like Kreese. You know, he's still not that extreme and that hardcore where it's really going to whatever, absolutely, it takes to get it done. Sure, yeah. He says the no mercy thing, but he still has, you know, a stopping point, if you will.
Yeah, and you see that at the end as well, you know, even though, and we'll get into it as well, but like, when, even though it's his son that's across, you know, being the opponent, like, you can still see it in his face. Like, what have I done? Like, I've kind of created some monsters here.
Yeah, because, like, even hearing what Miguel said at one point, like, remember, Miguel says to him at the end, no mercy. You know, it was almost like flipping around, because, like, how Kreese said no mercy to him at the end. You know,
that's what I love about it. It, like, all these ideals are here, but there's so much. Oh, man, I'll let you keep talking, because I'm like trying.
I'll pass it to Tyler, because like I said, there is so much to talk about from all these different characters. You know, it's almost like you kind of really don't want to even hate any of these people, because you kind of are understanding what's leading to each part. You know, it's like, how can I choose to hate this guy or love this guy? It's like they're all such engrossing characters that it's just so damn brilliant. But I'll pass it to Tyler, because we're going to be rambling for a while about this.
The show does such a great job of not just saying, okay, it's 30-some years later, these guys still hate each other's guts, and here we go again. it sets it up that these guys have moved on. They haven't forgotten the past. I mean, just like with anybody else in high school, or if you were picked on or you were bullied or you got made fun of, you don't forget it. You know, you may think about it a lot, but you do move on with your life. You know, I think all three of us here know what that's like. We may not dwell on it. We may not even talk about it that much, but you don't forget it, and you still go on with your jobs and your social lives and your lives with your significant others and things like that. But this does such a great job of building and building and building and building this feud that's just been reignited in a very realistic way. You know, I mean, from the moment Johnny, you know, has to go to the dealership, he doesn't like where he's at. And of course, it feels like LaRusso's new life has just been rubbed in his face on a daily basis. And to bring these two together, that Daniel, he messes with him a little bit at the dealership, but he's like, no, look, cool. We're all right, guys. I don't want to rehash the past. Let me help you out. And you really believe that Daniel was having some fun, but harmless fun. And then from there on out, it's like it's this gradual build of like, you know what? Daniel believes that Johnny's still the guy he always was because he beat up some kids who clearly deserved it, as we all know. And then Johnny thinks that Daniel is just this biggest prick that, you know, his daughter's hanging out with these punk-ass kids that are picking on her. It's so realistic. It doesn't feel forced. It's like, it's perfection. The show is absolute perfection in setting this thing up in such a manner that you can believe everything that happens. You don't feel like they're forcing this, or they're forcing this to play up the nostalgia, or to give Daniel his own new student, and so on and so forth. I mean, everything is woven so perfectly. I mean, the setup of how you build up Miguel and how he becomes, you know, so frustrated with how Sam's acting because of her paranoia about revealing that her boyfriend is a Cobra Kai, and how Robbie comes into this triangle of love. It's like, God, man, you could not have written that more perfectly. I mean, and even moving in characters like Hawk and Aisha, you know, you enjoy everything. You enjoy everything going on with Daniel's life and Johnny's life. The music, everything. I mean, all right, you know what? Let's just start from the beginning. I just feel like we're just praising the hell out of it. But let's start with our two main stars, Johnny and Daniel. I mean, is there anything that you feel like they could have done better with their portrayals? Because to me, I think perfect model.
No, they nailed it. Like, I like how you were saying they've moved on, but all of these circumstances sort of keep bringing them back face to face. Like, Johnny wants to move on and get away from it, but, you know, he turns on the TV, the LaRusso commercial comes on, he's like, oh, this fucking guy again, you know? And then, like, he's thinking about it. He's driving out. He goes to the arena, and then his car gets smashed, right? So he's like freaking out about that. And then turns out his car is getting towed. He's like, where's it going? Look on the car, and it's going to LaRusso. And he's like, shit, you know. So he goes to the dealership, and he's like, I want it towed somewhere else, whatever. And as Tyler said, he runs into Johnny Daniel, and he's like, hey, we're not doing this here. And then he sees Daniel's daughter, Sam, terrible name. Tyler gets it. That was one of the girls in the car. And he's like, you got to be kidding me. And it just becomes this thing of, you know, here's Miguel. And he's like, all right, fuck it. I'm gonna train him. And I thought that was a cool angle, too, that they would touch on briefly. Like, you see obviously that Johnny's mom has passed and his stepdad is still around, who's like really rich, which is why he had that privileged life, and he has interactions with him, and he's like, here's this chick, I'm basically, you know, cashing you out of my life. And he's like, I don't want this. But then he changes his mind because he's like, I'm gonna do this, because Miguel kind of plants that seed in his head of, hey, you should run your own dojo. I don't even know where I'm going with this now. I'm just kind of like rambling.
Yeah, It was great. I mean, like you said, the introduction of both characters, because, you know, when we watch the original Karate Kid, of course, they want to, you know, get it across that, yes, Johnny is the rich, privileged kid. You know, he has it all. Daniel's the one that comes from hard times, moving in a new neighborhood. He doesn't fit in. He can't get into the rich country clubs. You know, he's looked down upon because he doesn't have money. He doesn't come from money. And see, like, kind of a way of flipping and a role reversal to now Johnny, you know, he's waking up. And he's not rich, as we all thought. Like you said, you find out that, yes, his stepfather is the one that has all the money. That's how he was in, you know, a rich house in a rich neighborhood. But you also see that he just looks so damn down on his luck, but he still works hard. He's doing maintenance. In a way, it's like Mr. Miyagi, the maintenance man for the buildings. He's kind of a maintenance person that goes around and does stuff and takes care of, you know, menial labor jobs. And, yes, he has a new neighbor that just moved in. And this neighbor, he gets picked on, just like when Daniel moved into his new neighborhood and he got picked on. And he gets beat up and... well, he looks at somebody else, and then instead of Mr. Miyagi saving the day, it's Johnny kind of, in a way, saving the day, but not for praise or nothing.
Yeah, it's,
and then
it's because some of Miguel got thrown into his car, and he's like...
his car, like, yeah, let's... Yeah, it's like that. It's like he was looking, though. The whole time they were picking with Miguel, you could see as he's eating that slice of pizza, he's doing that little glare over his shoulder, like, you know he's thinking, should I do something? You know, he doesn't want to get involved, but he's thinking about it. But yes, once he hits a car, of course, he's going to, bam... he blows off some steam. He says some words, and then it leads to what has to be done. But he eventually teaches them. Then when they flip to the role of Daniel, you see him, you know, how lucky can one guy be? You know, they have that old song, and he's in a rich neighborhood now. He's got all the money. He's got these car dealerships. He's got billboards everywhere. He's finally in the country club that he's always wanted to be in. Now he's part of that, and it's different. And they try to make him seem, in a way, you know, snobby, like his life is so good, but not like an arrogant asshole, but you think that, you know, look how he is now. So I like the kind of the role reversal,
at least with Daniel, though, like he's maintaining the mentality, I don't want my daughter to become a privileged Encino brat. Like, he's very humble by what he's got. He's got a beautiful wife, you know, two kids, one's a brat, one's really, you know, very studious and smart and just intelligent, takes good care of herself. And just wants to see them live a good life, and not, he's like, he's very well aware of how they are with, you know, unfortunately with, you know, Antonio, he's like, all right, he's, you know, constantly putting on weight and doesn't care if he does anything except sit around and play a video game.
Yeah, I love that part at the country club when he's playing games and Daniel's like, hey, don't you want to like do it? No. And he's sitting there playing. It's like, well, you want to go get some sodas? And he's like, no. Because he didn't want to actually get up and physically do it. And I love that line when he's talking to his wife and he's like, I'm going to throw him in the goddamn pool.
Yeah, like that.
It's just cool to see Daniel still have that hot-headed mentality. Like, it slowly starts coming out all because of Cobra Kai. And it's fun, too, that, you know, his paranoia, but it makes sense that, you know, if you went through the events of the Daniel, you would never, ever forget that logo was absolute hell in your life for years. And that's all you associate with, is that cobra means trouble and just hell on earth for whoever it is that they decide to go after. So it all makes sense that he's constantly thinking the worst and just on, you know, everything makes him nervous about where his daughter's, especially when Johnny, you know, tells him, you know, hey, be careful who your daughter hangs out with, you know, just all that stuff. It's so perfect. It doesn't feel you're trying so hard to make all these lines connect. And I, you almost feel like too, these teenage characters would have been so easy to screw up, but I'll be damned if, I mean, Miguel to me is like the shining star outside of, you know, William and Ralph, the actor, Charlo, I forgot what his last name is, but he is the big breakout star of this series for me. I absolutely loved his innocence, his sincerity. He was such a likable character, you know, he wasn't like a character with a chip on his shoulder. He was just trying to mind his own business. And he's like, you know, I'd like to have a pretty girl in my life. And just wants to take care of himself. Like, he's not, you know, being a wimp about it. He's like, no, you know karate? Well, then teach me. So I don't have to deal with this shit anymore. You know? Yeah.
But when you see him at the end, it's just like, holy shit. Like, it's all in him now. He's just like, all right. And he still has that that innocence that he has early on, but you really see that aggressiveness start to just ooze out of him. That confidence now that he has it, I'm curious to see what's going to happen with him in season 2. If it's going to become a thing where, like, you know, Johnny's starting to realize, well, what have I done here? And Miguel's the, like, have some tension and, like, break away or something.
That's what extra layers to Johnny is that, you know, during the tournament, you know what, we're going to bounce all over the place when we're talking about these characters, but it makes sense, though, that it's Johnny's fault because Johnny, unless he decides to tell him in season two, look, your final opponent in the tournament was my son. And it just adds extra layers to Johnny that he never stops to tell Miguel, look, you don't have to take it too far. You're going up against my son in this. You know, he keeps it secret and just keeps it, which just kind of feels like, God, can you imagine the emotional pain and frustration Johnny is going through? I mean, he says it on his face. Even when he kind of tells Miguel, you know, look, we're not going to, you know, do it this way. And he's like, no mercy, just like you taught us. And he continues to work on Robbie's shoulder and Daniel. And it just works for Daniel to feel like, you know what, these guys will never, they will continue to be the Cobra Kai I always knew that they were. And I'm going to train you and we're going to get more. It just carries on what you're seeing into the second season perfectly.
Yeah. And it's the thing, like, Johnny doesn't want it to be that way, but, you know, like, that's how Daniel is seeing it still, like you said, and that's what I like about it. It's just that circumstance of, and you see that in that one episode when poor Johnny's car, man, like, it went through so much shit during this show. It eventually gets lit on fire, and so he needs a new car. LaRusso's like, well, you know, just pick one you want, whatever. And then they end up going on a test drive, and there's a song that they're like, oh, you like this? And he's like, oh, who doesn't, kind of thing. And then they end up at a bar, and then they start drinking. They're actually connecting. And then it reaches that pivotal moment where they go back to his house, and there's his son, and he's like, holy shit, like, you're training with my enemy. And it just starts all over again. Like, it's...
Yeah. I think those moments, those are the moments that, yes, you know, when the revelation, when you realize what's going on, like, okay, first, you know, Daniel doesn't want to believe anything, probably what Johnny's saying, you know, when first he's saying, you better, you know, like, keep your family check or watch out with your daughter, you know, all this stuff. And then, like, when the mother finds out that the daughter was part and involved in this car accident and this wreck, and she was like, you know, why didn't you say anything? Do you know the trouble that you've caused because of this? Because, you know, if maybe that truth was let out from the beginning, it wouldn't have spiraled and snowballed into this disaster that you've seen. But they're all finding this out. Same thing with Daniel. He's probably not believing that his cousin, you know, Louis had anything to do with anything that happened. But then you did find out, he realized, oh shit, he did set the car on fire. We don't want him on this property no more. You know, where he works, he's not welcome. You know, it's like Daniel's finding out a lot of these things. And unfortunately, they had that real bonding moment. But yeah, when they came at the end and bam, sees, you know, his son right there. And then bam, he pushes Daniel and oh shit, it just went back to trouble. You'd only hope that maybe, you know, because you wonder, like I said, of course, we're still going to talk all more about season one. But yeah, we'll do a little side rant about season two and thoughts about that, because you think, well, where can they go in season two? Like, you know, what could they do? Like, is it possible, let's say that Johnny, he, you know, when Kreese comes back, and let's say, you know, God forbid, we have the other ones, we have Terry Silver and we have Mike, you know, we have, let's say they all come back and they want the real ruthless Cobra Kai. But Johnny realizes this is something he doesn't want. Maybe there'd actually be, you never know, maybe there'd be some kind of like bonding and again, a unity between him and Daniel to maybe then working with, you know, Miyagi-Do Karate, maybe they bond together. Maybe somehow you'll see maybe Miguel and maybe Robbie and then, of course, even Samantha. Maybe they'll be representing, you know, Miyagi-Do. And then you think, well, who the hell would come in for Cobra Kai? Like maybe Hawk. You see Hawk, that Hawk started losing his shit. He, I think, is starting to embrace Cobra Kai more than anybody. So see, maybe
that's the thing. I think
Kyler, what if Kyler even joined? Because you know how Kyler was looking at Daniel like he was scared shitless to be around him, almost like how Daniel in the Karate Kid was trying to avoid Johnny at all times. Like when he was starting to see Daniel, he didn't want to be around him. Maybe Kyler will then start getting trained by Cobra Kai and he might be one of those bad guys for Cobra Kai.
See, that's the thing that I'm thinking. I see it with, as Miguel will probably stick with Cobra Kai. Johnny's going to be like, this is getting too much, and like confides with Daniel and joins, because, you know, as we get to the end of that, like, Daniel decides that, you know, he's gonna start accumulating some students. So I see Johnny defecting and going and joining up with Daniel, and I see Miguel staying, and I see Johnny hopefully bonding more with his son now and making that stronger as well. That's how I see season two going. It may just go in a complete different direction.
Yeah.
Tyler, what do you think is going to happen?
I mean, obviously with the reveal of John Kreese still being alive, which you almost feel like when Johnny says he's dead, he's just saying it so they'll forget what John Kreese ever did. So I about jumped out of my bed when I was watching it and saw John Kreese with the red lighting as if like the devil himself has returned to the halls of Cobra Kai. So I almost feel like you kind of feel like Terry Silver does have to return because these are the two guys who've got Cobra Kai started. And here it is all over again. Someone is using their name and their dojo. It's popular again now. It's just been put back on the map. And why aren't we a part of this? Why aren't we in control of this? So it makes sense for Kreese to come back. And for Mike Barnes, who was promised 50% of all the new dojos in Karate Kid Part 3, who was screwed out of his financial deal, Cobra Kai is now back. And Terry Silver, someone's using his name. Like, you almost feel like the trio from the original Cobra Kai group has to return strictly on the idea that Johnny's using their name.
Yeah, and because they were the ones that got them banned from the competition. It was those three names you mentioned. Yeah. Paid
attention to detail and said that the events, and I think a lot of people forget that the events of 1, 2, and 3 all take place in the span of a year. So, and it was so cool to show that in 85, that's when Cobra Kai was banned from the All Valley tournament. And that they carry on that, and now that Cobra Kai is back and won their first tournament in over 30 years, all the old Cobras should come out of their snake holes and decide, you know what, we all want to get back in this. And I feel like with Miguel, he's still, like, when at the end he still wants to see Samantha, even though in his eyes he feels like Samantha was cheating on him and clearly is hiding it from him. So you feel like even though we as the audience know she's not cheating on him, she still cares a lot for him. But because of her insecurities about telling her father who she's dating, he believes she's cheating on him. And you don't want to see him go down that path of beating up on Robbie, but it makes sense why he's doing that. And when it's all said and done, he wants to come, you know, hey, look, you know, I won and, you know, I want to see you. She's not there. I almost feel like Miguel is going to be the guy that's going to be being pulled from both sides, where John is going to be trying to, like, direct him, look, you took the lessons I taught you, and you won us our first tournament in over 30 years. I'm proud of you. But then you got John Kreese showing up and trying to inflict his mentality on Miguel, who's saying, no, kid, look, you did it the right way. You found his weakness, and you exploited it, and you won the tournament. You are our first champion in all these years. You have brought Cobra Kai back. And he's going to – I can see him playing off Miguel's ego of like, no, kid, you did everything right. You are the prize student. You were everything that Johnny was for me. And you can carry on this tradition. And then Mike Barnes could show up, you know, and say, no, do it, kid. You know, and Terry so. I mean, all these guys could have such an influence. Say, look, kid, you could have it all. Look at this lifestyle that we've all had before in the past. I mean, Miguel could be like the quintessential hero / villain. He could be, dare I say, a Darth Vader type character where he is good, goes down this very evil path, and then realize, because his family doesn't come from money. And I can see Cobra Kai, like, you know, we can make things so much better for you, kid. You know, God, there's the possibilities are endless with Miguel.
There's so many. Yeah, because like you said, I'm sure he's got to have, you know, a moment of redemption somewhat for Miguel. It's got to happen, you would assume, because you think, like, who are, you know, because I can't picture them taking him in season two all the way to the end as a, let's say, bad guy to face whoever the good guy is. I figure he's got to go and see, you know, the error of his, not really the error of his ways, but maybe of what was being taught, and maybe, you know what, this is what is really right, what I should be doing. Because you think, geez, you're going to have, I don't know what Robbie will be, you know, like his role in season two, and then Samantha, they gave the hint of her doing something in the dojo right at the end. Like, is she going to be a main star? Will she, you know, like, we don't know. It's like you said,
well, I think so, you know, because her friend at the end was like, hey, you know, we need another girl in here, even if you're not wearing these colors. So that kind of just tips you off right there that, yeah, she's definitely going to be heavily involved in getting back into it. I'm kind of curious if they will also move in that direction of her and Robbie, like if they make that sort of like a slow burn and she actually does end up in a relationship with him. I mean, I get Miguel thinking that she's cheating on him because you can never trust a girl with the name Samantha. You just can't.
Must be something in your life that Samantha. We'll have to get into that in a bit. But
nah, I'm good.
Throw
it out.
They're all just such damn likable characters. That's the thing. I mean, I love Miguel and Robbie and Samantha. It's like you love all of them. You hate the thought of, you know, who's the one that might be bad, you know, not maybe even permanently, but even for a long period of time, and what's going to happen, and who are going to be the new bad guys that would be introduced in this. It's, like I said, the possibilities are endless, but it's just what made this series just so great. They did so many twists and turns to the whole thing. Like I said, a lot of stuff that might have been an homage to the original Karate Kid while still making a lot of new stuff. Maybe even seeing stuff from somebody else's, you know, like, side of the story. You know, like how you'd kind of see... You know, again, how we talked about Johnny, and then you kind of see, well, maybe Johnny really wasn't an ass, because, like, when he's sitting there talking with Miguel, and you see it from Johnny's side, you know, his story about he had an argument with his girlfriend, and he was trying to, like, you know, like, work things out, and then this Daniel comes in, and he just wouldn't stop, you know, butting in, and then he sucker punches me, and then 2 months later, we thought this was squashed. What does he do? He sprays me with water, so I went and we took care of business to try to end it, and out of nowhere, some guy came and kicked the crap out of us. It was a karate master for him.
It's like he's leaving out the little details.
Though. Yeah, but you're right. He's leaving out, like, some of the details where, yes, maybe it was that extra attitude of being pissed, almost like how you see how Miguel is seeing things from a certain side, which isn't the actual truth, but he's seeing things through his eyes and gets him pissed, and he's having the same kind of emotions. So in Johnny's eyes, probably Johnny's thinking, you know what, damn, Daniel's screwing around with me. I was going to make up with my girlfriend. He screwed it all up. You know, and of course, we don't see that part. We're seeing the part of, man, this guy's an asshole in the movie. Yeah. But I like how they try to explain little bits like that, and then you see it play out with the new characters as well. It was just... I mean, it's just, you know, it's genius.
Yeah,
it's
as JSP said here in the chat, he's like, it looks like a battle of perspectives, and that's exactly what it is. That's the entire show, is all these different characters seeing things in their own way, and just... It's kind of like a good life lesson as well, you know? Like, what you see might not actually be... And they address it in the show. Like, you know, Daniel was like, I always thought you just had this really privileged life. And he was like, you know, it's not everything that you thought it was, you know, because you get those flashbacks of when he wanted to start doing karate, and they're sitting there at the dinner table, and his stepdad's like, might as well just write garbage on the check, because that's exactly where it's going to wind up. You know, it's cool. It's like, you think you might know something, but you don't really know exactly entirely what some people are going through sometimes. Right. You just see it a certain way and not how they're seeing it.
There's always two sides to a story, basically. Yeah. That's what you're seeing, and you're kind of seeing it from both sides, even though they obviously can't. But us as a viewer, we can see both sides of this, and we can see what creates these conflicts, problems, or whatever may occur.
Yeah, I think also one of the other touches of the show that I really like is when they almost hit you with one of those things that take you back to one of the other films, like when Miguel asks Johnny, he's like, hey, is there a certain way you want me to, like, wash these windows? And he's like, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
So good. Like, just all of it. And can we take a second to talk about that scene when Daniel goes to Miyagi's grave? I know Tyler said that he got a little emotional during that part. Is that correct?
No, I don't recall saying that.
Oh, I thought you did. I thought there were, I saw something in the comment where you're just like, yeah, that made me almost tear up or something too. What part was that then?
Well, maybe it was that scene. Because I remember when I saw it, I just kind of felt like, yeah, this is, you know, because you feel bad for Daniel, and you know that Miyagi's going to be referenced a lot throughout the show, and to actually go to the grave and just kind of calling me, making a cry for help. And yeah, I mean, I didn't shed tears over it, but it definitely had, like, an emotional impact on you, you know, based on that scene. You just see how troubled Daniel is, that everything's just spiraled out of control, and he doesn't have balance, he doesn't know how to handle things, he's, you know, he does not address this feud he's got with Tom Cole, his rival dealership, and then you got problems with his kids, and then Johnny, you just kind of felt like he's got, I don't know how to handle anything anymore, you know, so And of course, when you bring Miyagi into it, because he always had some of the best emotional moments in the original, or in the trilogy. This would be one of the more emotional moments throughout the show, though.
Joe, are you having a hard time hearing Tyler? I'm just going to ask.
For one second, I didn't want to say, but right there for a second, it got real low, and I thought I heard background noise of people talking around, but I just wasn't quite sure if that was me, or you or him.
It's all Tyler and his fancy, exotic beach house.
Well, hey, first let me say to, I didn't do this, let me say hello, Jake Juggalo, JSP, Tamara Shipper, and Chris Simpson all in the chat room. Thank you for joining us, and I'm sure you guys
will probably see. I hope that you guys have actually watched the entire show yourselves, because I would feel kind of dirty if you're just in here and we're just spoiling everything.
Well, they heard, this is spoilers, it's full of spoilers, this ain't spoiler free, we're definitely saying everything that we could possibly think of from this damn series, but... Yeah, I mean, let's talk about some of the other side characters that, you know, had a great build-up as well. Ones that maybe, you know, we got picked on or talked about. Now I'm hearing an echo for me. damn it, it's like I can't win. I think that's coming on your side too, Nathan. My voice is echoing through on your side. I don't know why. But
if I turn it down any lower, I'm not going to be able to hear Tyler at all.
But no, we have Aisha, somebody who was great friends with Sam, and then Sam is wanting to be with the new girls, the cool clique and everything, and be a part of that. And then she's kind of ignoring her friend that she's known forever. And you see how Aisha's getting picked on. And she goes to Cobra Kai, and, you know, she's the second student there. He doesn't want to teach girls. You know, girls can't be Cobra Kai. But eventually, yes, she becomes one, and she's a very tough student, and she gains confidence after being picked on and then making, you know, like, nasty viral videos of her, you know, like, eating Cheetos and then making, you know, a pig face on her. And then the one where, you know, like, she has her belt and she's breaking the board, and the one girl says, I'm surprised you can fit that belt around you. And that leads to her, like, uh-huh. Now she's like, okay, we're going to crash this party. Not only crash the party, they're going to be the ones that start it. They have the party at the beach. And then Eli, who becomes Hawk, he's getting constantly picked on through the movie about his, you know, his lip and, you know, just being born, you know, like with deformity. Yeah. And of
course, I like that part too when Eli's there in the dojo and Johnny's just like, what's wrong with your lip? And he was just like, well, you know, I my lip was messed up. And he's like, can't you get surgery for that? And he's like, well, I already did. This is the scar. And he's just like, oh.
Yeah, that's the thing. And you're right. It's like he won't let up. And it's not that, again, it's probably how Johnny's seen things where maybe sometimes people would pick on other people because he knows what it's like to be an outcast, as you will find out too. But he's not doing it to, like, make the kid cry. He's probably seeing, is this kid tough enough? Is he going to stick around or is he going to just leave? And he leaves, but then he comes back because he kind of took Johnny's advice and he flipped the script. And he comes back with this new attitude. Got the mohawk. He's got a tattoo, but he's got confidence.
Yeah.
And Johnny even he names him. He calls him Hawk. I was like, that's cool as shit. I mean, I felt so good for Eli that now he's Hawk. He's a new character. He's really taken it to another level again, as you see as the series progresses all the way to the end. He's got one bad, bad attitude. But I loved it. But what were your thoughts on some of the, you know, Tyler and Nathan, some of the other characters?
Tyler, go ahead. Take it away.
I think for me, it was more fun to watch the new Cobra Kai's even more so than the new, I guess you'd call them good guys, so to speak, even though Robbie starts off as like a very troubled kid. He's in the stealing and in the wrong crowd, but obviously he's just someone who's just dealing with all he's got right now, which is no mother, no father, and guys who want to take advantage of his skills of, you know, sneaking into different job locations, getting, you know, valuable stuff, and then they steal it, things like that. So he's not really a bad kid, but just kind of feels like he's got no sense of direction. And I enjoy all that, but I just found that, and of course I love all this stuff with Daniel on the show too. I mean, him, it felt fluid, like how they become friends and how Daniel takes him under his wing and starts, you know what, I'm gonna stick around training, and just becomes infatuated and wanting to learn more. But the stuff with Hawk and Aisha, I just found that was very, very enjoyable. That, you know, you see, like, they don't. It's what's good too is they wrote the bullying very logical. Like, you know, not that I'm saying you want to encourage it, but if you're going to show bullying, show the way that it's done in school. You know, people are using social media to torment kids, and then you've always got some punk ass preppy kid in his sideshow group of some of the most goofy looking guys you can imagine, all deciding to gang up on one particular guy. We've all seen it in high school, middle school, and stuff like that. and they do such a good job of building up. All these kids are going to get their payback at some point. And this just that's one of the cool things about the show is that you want to see them succeed. You want to see them, you know, come out on top. And even though Hawk takes it a bit too far, and then when Aisha loses in the tournament, she's frustrated because she didn't go any further. You know, and anybody would be. When you enter a competition and you lose, you're not happy. You're upset. You're frustrated with yourself that you lost, and she has no sportsmanship when the guy comes over to help her up. But you almost feel like she's not completely turned, whereas Hawk decides, you know what, the hell with this, and just, you know, goes and injures Rob, and you feel like, okay. And I like that they didn't hold back with that. Like, even though Hawk's a very likable character, push the envelope. And I like that, you know what, you kind of felt like Robbie may win the tournament, but no, Miguel ends up winning. I'm glad they did not go the traditional route and have the good guys win. The bad guys, even though they're not bad guys, they win. And it's I like that. And that's what's so good about the 10-episode selection, is that you really give an opportunity for all the side characters to have, you know, a lot of moments to shine, and you don't feel like you're bombarded with too many characters, too many side characters, or why are we devoting time to this guy or this girl? Like, you know, everybody works. Even Louie, which is a reference to Uncle Louie, so you get the impression that it's Uncle Louie's son.
Louie probably.
You know, you just want to strangle the guy because the guy comes off like he's just trying to stick up for LaRusso's name, but he's a constant screw-up. He's constantly setting Robbie up to fail, which was like, God, you just want to kill the guy. And then when he goes and hires those two bikers to destroy Johnny's car, like, there's no end to this madness. You almost feel like Daniel is trying to get out of this, but the side character of Louie is constantly pushing Daniel back into this fight that, you know, Johnny doesn't want to do it, and neither does Daniel, because they tried to make... Even when Daniel and Johnny run into each other in that convenience store, and that look on Johnny's face says, like, you know, I hate that we've gone down this road. He knows Daniel is, you know, he almost feels like Daniel has seen the big dick on the billboard, which is a big part of the story. And then Daniel says, you know what? I'm in the spray paint. And I'm going to pay for that guy's beer. It looks like he's had a bad day. It's almost like his way of sticking it to him, but in a very polite way. Just kind of feel like these guys are not bad guys, but all these side characters from Sam and her paranoia, I mean, all this stuff, it just, it, and Sam is a really funny character too on the show, regardless of what Nathan thinks. You know, you really do, and I told Nathan about this too, the date between Miguel and Sam, it was such a sweet thing. It was like something that you really enjoyed these two characters going through. You know, because even, and it's something the powers that be behind the show said, we didn't want to focus too much on nostalgia. Like, we wanted to use moments you've seen only to help tell the story and not just be, hey, do you remember this? Remember how you liked this? You know, like what Force Awakens was given so much grief about, you know, like referencing some of the stuff, like the member bears in South Park, which I didn't think that was a very funny thing in South Park, but anyway. But I felt like, yeah, it all worked. That the whole going to golf and stuff, it was a very sweet scene to watch these kids go and have fun the way that Daniel and, oh my God.
Ellie.
Blank on this. Elizabeth Shue. Ellie. God. Man, I will never forgive myself.
Like, Joe was sitting there like telling you, he's like, Ellie. And you're sitting there like, oh God, who is it?
I wasn't having it because I didn't want you guys to tell me. I was like, I need to figure this out. I was like, damn it, man. But anyway, all the throwback nods, it was all great, and I really appreciate the fact that they allowed Johnny to be a Johnny, like a product of the 80s, where everybody was a hard ass, you know, and you didn't hold back on what you thought about that, and his mentality of saying, making fun of Lip, you know, if you're going to worry about it, you know, then how are you going to, you know, handle yourself in a fight when bullies come pick on you? You have to be willing to, like you said, flip the script, and all of, you know, whatever you are, you need to be badass about it. And it was just so to keep hammering that home that
it, and you know what you
look like or how or what you're into, if you're badass about it.
You know, exactly. It's all about confidence. I mean, really. And that's the great thing about those side characters is I can honestly say it's whether you loved or hated them, they weren't forgettable. Meaning like, okay, in the original Karate Kid movie, you know, Allie and her two friends, I'll always say, I don't know what the hell their names were, but I know that they were just kind of annoying and forgettable, especially the blonde where, like, you know, can't you take a hint? You know, in the original Karate Kid, it's like, she's not even memorable. It's just like, they're not characters you care to know. But in this one, like, let's say those other two girls, you got Moon and Yasmin. You know, Yasmin is, she's a bitch. She's a real nasty bitch the whole time.
Like doing she looks like a fucking lizard, man.
Well, that's her character. She's one, it's memorable, but you don't forget her to where you don't care. But you remember, and especially when she got ripped a new vagina, you know, by Aisha. She really literally...
Which was a fantastic, like... like, they crashed that party. They're like, you know what, we're going to go ahead, like Tyler was saying, we're going to have that party before they even get there. She gets there, and she's like, oh, what the hell? And then she confronts Aisha, and then that's when it happened. She's like, I'm flipping the script. I'm not taking this shit anymore. Yeah,
I loved it, like, too. A great triumphant moment for her. Now, she did something in public for everybody to see, like how they were doing to her and, you know, doing those viral videos. It was great. And hell, like when you think back when even Kyler was sitting there bullying Eli in the library and said something like, you know, like no girl's going to ever kiss that lip or whatever. And bam, one of those hot girls, Moon. Moon's making out. And Moon sees like, hey, I apologize to Aisha and you should too. She sees that, you know, what was going on in the bitchy ways. But that's what I mean. I love all these characters and side characters. They're all so damn memorable. That's what just was so genius about this whole show. It's like nobody's really forgettable, you know? I mean, like I said, in the original Karate Kid, couple of girls and some others, maybe. I mean, like in any movie, but I don't know. I just think, like I said, everything they did about the series was fantastic. It just, it has me latching on and wanting, God, what is going to happen, like we said, in season two? It can't come soon enough, but I know we're going to have to wait till next year to get a season two, which is, you know, always has me on just, you know, waiting and waiting. But,
What are you going to do with that when season two comes out? Because, you know, your trial's going to be done. There's not going to... Yeah, I guess you can make another YouTube account.
And no, by that time, maybe I'll have a little more money and I can afford a 1 month trial or 2 months, and I'll afford it then. I'm sure I can. I'll scrounge up. I'll do what I always tell Tyler, you know, save up a couple bucks here and there. And then if you can have that money by next year, you can afford it. So,
like, you know, eat off the dollar menu at McDonald's. Or we have some, like, a Patreon account for Joe.
Oh yeah, Joe. This, you got any tips this week on being thrifty?
You know, I can't think of a thrifty. No more thrifty tips. At least not this week or this week. No, I couldn't think of anything. Or unless you want to make your own bread, you could just get some flour and then you can mix it up with water and then put some butter in a pan and you can have some fried bread. It's actually good. I eat that. I have fried bread. Just flour, water, butter, fry it up, and it's good. And you put a little. Go ahead.
Everyone just needs to start hitting Joe up for some customs. Can you make me Hawk? There we go. We'll get people to hit you up.
Well, this got me so damn giddy. That's why I made that shirt, which 15 have sold so far. But I took Cobra Khan and I drew a face for him and put it onto the Cobra Kai logo. And then I re-outlined and widened up the Cobra. And I put Cobra Khan instead of Cobra Kai on a shirt. And I'm ordering one. So got a new shirt. Yeah. It's called Cobra Khan. It's cool as shit.
Oh, there you go. You want to plug that website for the shirt designs you got?
Oh, it's just TeePublic. You go to teepublic.com and type in Josephus, Joseephus. And it'll bring up all my designs. And that's where you can find the Cobra Khan shirt.
You know what? I'll go ahead and put a link to it in the description.
Oh, you really didn't have to do that, but
we're doing it.
Well, let me see. Also, hello in the chat room. We got somebody new, Randy, the man behind the mask. Hey, well, good to see you, Randy. That's what I call myself on the other podcast, the man behind the mask. So, good to see you in the chat room.
Can we talk a little more about Robbie? Like,
go ahead.
We've talked at great length now, just all of these side characters and all the arcs that they go through throughout the show. But Robbie was cool just because, you know, he's Johnny's kid. And as Tyler touched on, like, his dad's not there. His mom is kind of like in and out. She's bringing random dudes home from the bar every night, you know? So he's just become this troubled kid. And I love the fact that once he kind of puts it together, he's like, I'm going to do this just to spite my dad. But then it kind of, he actually learns something from it, and he actually is like, holy shit, like, he kind of feels like he's got that father figure in his life, kind of like, you know, Daniel and Miyagi in the first set of films. Was there anything about his character at all that you thought should have been done differently, or is that perfect too?
Wait, Tyler. No,
I really felt like they did such a great job of getting him involved, because you kind of feel like at this point that's the path he's going to go down. And I mean, obviously, I feel like whenever the series is wrapped up, whatever, however, I'm sure this is probably going to go on for at least two more seasons. I can't imagine they're going to wrap the story up in two seasons. It should be a trilogy itself. It should be three full seasons at least. But I feel like they did such a great job of putting Robbie down on that path. I kind of feel like the entire next season is going to be him, you know, getting better and re-entering the tournament, and Daniel really kind of getting the son that he currently doesn't have. But then you kind of feel like at the end, Antonio's like, this karate stuff's actually not too bad. But I really don't want that to be the focus. I want it to be, because he even says at the end, you know, this is the Miyagi-Do karate, we're going to need more students, almost as if, like, we're going to have a larger group entering that tournament, too, to represent, you know, Miyagi. So you almost feel like it's going to be, like, Sam, Robbie, and then probably maybe them helping recruit, so to speak, in some kind of roundabout way. But I think Robbie's character arc was, it was like Miguel's, it was perfection.
Okay, Joe, is it perfect for you as well? Is there anything you would have... I guess I'll pose a question. Is there anything at all? And Joe probably already said too. Is there anything that you would have done differently?
I couldn't picture. I mean, like I said, I absolutely loved everything they did. It was the perfect mix of nostalgia with also keeping it current to what it is nowadays. Like, I don't think like there was too much focus, even though, yes, we've seen his son, Anthony, sitting there playing the games. Yes, we've seen the viral videos, but it just didn't seem like it was, you know, focusing too much on modern nonsense, but it was a way of like just bringing the past and the present together for a perfect series. It's, you know, because sometimes, like we said, when they remake, whether it's a TV series or a movie, it seems like they focus on so much other things that it just takes it out of the element. And I don't mean just to go ahead and make things like just like the past. I'm not saying, oh, have this movie be like it's in the 80s. No, I just moments and things that can make a movie or TV series engrossing and can keep your attention. You know, I just feel like sometimes they miss the point of things. Like when we talk about remakes, like when they, I mean, hell, and this is not even having anything to do with, you know, Earth, but like, you know, Conan, or like even that Total Recall in certain movies they did. It's like, what did you guys do? It's like you completely just changed everything, especially with like Total Recall. And a lot of them, it's like you just went in so many different directions. It's why do you even call it that movie? So at least with The Karate Kid, it feels like, yes, I understand that this takes place and it's these characters and now it's their children and it's still them. I don't see anything that was done wrong at all with it. I think it was just a perfect mix. I just loved every little background story and twist that it had. That's why I said there's so much that's involved that, yes, you could watch this 2, 3, 4 times. I don't know how many times you could watch a series, but it seems like you might even pick up something different every time you watch it. But it's fun to keep watching. It's, I don't know. It's like, it's just a great movie. It's a very extended movie in pieces, if you will. Just a good, good, long movie, in my opinion.
Joe, are you planning on watching it again before the trial?
Yes, because I watched it twice so far, which that's a first for me. I usually don't go ahead and binge, but I was like, I just love this damn thing so much. I love these characters. I love everything about it, and I probably will watch it again. And I don't know if this is stuff that I'll eventually could make it to DVD, but I'd love to see a DVD or Blu-ray set of this. I think they'd be cool as hell with maybe bonus stuff, behind-the-scenes things. I don't know if they do that, though, with things that are like on, you know, a YouTube Red. I don't know how stuff like that works legally.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess it depends on how well it'll do. Like, I know that those first two episodes have done really well view wise. I haven't looked to see what the other episodes that aren't free, how they've done, but it seems like it's a massive success, obviously, if they're going to have a season two. But I would love to see a Blu-ray set. I would buy that in a heartbeat.
And how many times have you watched it so far, Nathan and Tyler? How many times have you guys watched it?
I've watched it 2 times all the way through, and then I watched those first 4 episodes again last night. So,
okay. What about you, Tyler?
I've watched it twice all the way through, and I'm on episode, I think, 8 or 9 right now for my 30. And I will finish it because it's been so much fun to watch. It's not something that you kind of feel like, you get excited and then you watch and then you're like, okay, well, I've kind of got my fix of it. I mean, it's something that I feel like this will be a show that I, much like The Karate Kid itself, you just go back and rewatch multiple times. I mean, it's
yeah.
level of quality of like Predator and Jaws and Batman and Ghostbusters, where it has that rewatch factor. You know, I when I watch Game of Thrones, I watch it the one time. I'm like, okay, give me the next season.
By the way, real quick, who you got in the background with you? Got a couple of people that have joined us on the show.
Yeah, that's family back there.
It's family. Okay, well, tell them to give a shout out. They're on the show. We got people. Chris Simpson's like, who's that in the pool?
They're going to be immortalized forever on YouTube.
I think we know you guys are in the background, so.
Hey!
Yes. extended family here. Fans of the pod, they're here for the live recording here, so.
There you go. We went beyond retro with that, so there you go.
Yeah.
No, I think it's kind of neat, honestly. Like, that's what I love about the show. Tyler, and yesterday's episode, we got towards the end, and those VHS tapes showed up, and the dogs went crazy because the mailman got on the porch. And I'm like, and it was right when we were at the end where I'm talking about, you know, liking and subscribing and everything, and I was like, Joe, you're going to have to take over for a second. And I, like, muted the mic, and I'm, like, sitting there while Joe's, like, talking. I'm like, I think we're okay now.
Oh, jeez. That always makes it great, but, oh, jeez. Well, I'll go ahead. I don't know, Nathan, anything else you want to say? Because, I mean, I think we've said almost everything that could be said. I'm sure we missed parts because, like I said, there could probably be a whole nother show just dedicated to this. There's probably so many things I'm sure we could still touch on, but I don't know what else to say what hasn't been said already. It's, if you haven't seen this, I mean, you need to, but obviously I'm assuming anybody that's in the chat room live with us, I'm sure you see most of it, except JSP said he didn't see all of it, but you guys do yourself a service and definitely see Cobra Kai. So those who are on Podbean or catching us on a rerun, got to see this damn series. It's the best series I have seen in years, and I just can't wait for the next season.
Yeah, I hope that the momentum keeps up. I hope that there's not anything in season two that I'm just like, man, yeah, that's definitely not as good as season one, you know, because that I think that's going to be my main concern going forward when they do season two is it still going to have all of these great things that made this perfect? Are they going to try to tinker with it too much and fuck it up, you know?
Right. One last thing, I mean, that I guess I didn't say, I mean, but can be said, is the acting is really great. It doesn't feel like it's off or flat. Like, you know, sometimes you might see something on TV and you see there's a level of what they might call TV acting or movie acting. I think the acting from everybody was fantastic in this. Nobody felt fake. It didn't feel phony. It didn't feel like they could have delivered their lines any better. I think that they did fantastic for their acting, everybody. So
yeah,
I totally
agree with that. Like, I like it on Aisha and Eli's face there at the beginning. Like, they don't even have to say anything, and you just, like, just see that. Like, that was really well done. I love the part when Aisha's, like, looking across the lunchroom and sees Samantha, terrible name, and...
Okay, wait, now, hold on. You can't not address this. Okay, we're gonna sidetrack like we always do. You have mentioned this Samantha name at least 10 times so far of not liking it. So now you have to say it. Why?
Oh, I mean, come on, Joe. Put it together.
We want to hear it, though. No, I already know. I know what you're... Oh, I'm sure you had an ex that probably gave you horrible shit that you couldn't stand, but you're going to have to speak of it. Say something about this Samantha. Maybe not her whole name, but what is it about this Samantha that drove you so damn nuts?
All right, we'll do a little real talk segment. I'm looking at Tyler down there. He's like, oh, God.
It's real talk. Hit it. Go on.
Real talk. Samantha was a girl that I dated for a little over 4 years. The funny thing is it spawned out of another relationship that I had that was like 5 years. So you're looking like so much time spent dating. Anyway, it was one of those things of, you know, Tyler touched on, we've talked about this before, but when Tyler and I first became friends, like, I was very boisterous, outlandish, and sometimes I was like a dick to not only him, but my other friends, you know, like, I would find something and I would just kind of like run it into the ground. And it, like, I look back on all that now, I'm just like, shit. So I was still kind of that way when I was dating her, like, just a real jerk. And there's a few stories that Tyler's got because he was there. And
yeah, like, you almost sound like Johnny at a point. You were a dick, a dork, you didn't mean to be, that you kind of had some redemption.
I think that's why I resonated so much with his character. And I liked the way that his story, like, I could see little bits of myself And I'm just like, he was that way because reasons and whatever. But I was kind of seeing the error of my ways. And towards the end of that relationship, I was kind of fully like, all right, yeah. And then out of nowhere, she's just like, oh, I'm not going to do this anymore. And it was just like devastating. Because you're in a relationship for a long time. I'm sure plenty of people have gone through this. You kind of lose that sense of who you were, or who you are, because you kind of attach yourself into this other person, their world, whatever. So that was just a shitty time. So I just kind of like, Tyler and I joked about it. If we ever like that name came up, I just like terrible name. And it was just perfect for the show because I'm like, I know that name is going to come up constantly. So I can just do that.
Definitely damn relatable. And like you said, it almost a connection with your character and the way you are with Johnny. So it's strange, but it's kind of cool. Either way. All right. Well, now we know the whole Samantha thing because I had to come out. We only heard the name so many times. So thank you for sharing that with us.
I was surprised you didn't go into that much detail about it. It's one of those things that Nathan just doesn't talk about the whole lot.
I mean, it is what it is. Like, obviously I've moved on from it, but it's I don't know. We all have those parts in our lives, right? Where it's just like, they're just really shitty, and half the time it's probably because of a girl.
Real talk with Nathan. There you go. You had your moment, man.
There it is. Where do you go from there? What direction do we take this show in now?
I guess just kind of wrapping it up. How are we gonna?
Yeah.
I think it's probably a good time to just say, all right, let's wrap it up here.
Yeah, Tyler's ready to go hop in the pool and go back to. Tyler, what are your plans for the rest of your trip? Not only today, but for because you're gonna be there for the rest of the week.
Yeah. I didn't know like. Tonight, because I'll be recording with Joe later tonight, so I probably will hang around this area probably for most of today, and I'll probably wander down to North Myrtle tomorrow because I told Nathan I would do this, so I will do this for I told Joe about this place, but I didn't tell him to do it this time. But I'll be going to the arcade at North Myrtle Beach Mall multiple times throughout the week, and I told Nathan I would get footage of the actual arcade.
Oh. Yeah, we're gonna like make it all sort of fancied up and probably put it on the channel just so it's like preserved forever.
Yeah, I mean, because it is like the holy grail of arcades, man. Where you've got Mortal Kombat 1 and 2, Ninja Turtles, the original, and Turtles of Time. You've got the Spider-Man arcade game, X-Men, like games like Centipede and Galaga. They have Contra, the original Super Mario Brothers, and then some pinball machines. And the X-Men game, they've got just the big widescreen version.
Oh,
really the six-player one, right?
Yeah, the six-player one where everyone's got plenty of arm room to play around. Everything's a quarter, too, and they've got comic books, figures, video games, like Super Nintendo games you can buy and things like that.
Damn, those were the days.
What are you going to do if you go there and it's, like, closed?
No, I checked in advance.
Okay.
Because I would worry about that when I would come to the beach, that because it's in a mall that's filled with tumbleweed, so to speak. I don't know how the mall stays in business, but every time I go in there, there's always a lot of people playing these video games. So obviously, and last year when I was down here, it was raining the whole time, so the mall was jam-packed, and the arcade was pretty hopping, which was great. I like seeing that, you know, that this place in this mall that's falling apart is, you know, not, it's keeping a business, because it's... Where it's at in the mall, it's kind of far away, or like far and down the other end where there's just nothing around. But I definitely will be doing a lot of that. I've got like, I went and cashed in like my piggy bank of coins and just got like $24 worth of coins cashed in. So I'm going to use all that in the arcade.
Well, hell yeah. Like, I'm looking forward to when you take that video. I think it's going to be funny, too, because I think you should go around and film, and just when you find that, you're like, oh, man, look at this. Oh, look at that over there. Wow.
I won't do any talking, you know. I'll probably just let the video speak for itself so that way Nathan can add music to it.
You just try to make it, like, a little length. Don't go in there, like, 20 seconds and just, oh, yeah, all right, I'm done.
No, I'll focus, like, on each game good.
Yeah, there you go. Just, like, go slow, have it kind of, like, show the game a little bit, move on to the next one. I'm really looking forward to it because it's going to be nice to just hear all those sounds again too, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, and I have to show all the cabinet art and everything like that that's on those games. And then hopefully all of them, I mean, the last couple of years, all the games have been working. the first year I went in there, the Spider-Man game was shut down. They hadn't, you know, it wasn't working at the moment. But the last couple of years, everything's been working.
Now, so, I know Chris Simpson is probably going to ask about this, but your workout routine, how is that going to change while you're down there?
I drove down to Myrtle Beach, which was about 46 minutes from where we're at, which was actually quite a pretty quick drive this morning. I mean, it wasn't that long at all. There's a gym close by, but they didn't open till later on. I'm like, I wanted to go and get my workout in early so I could get back. So that's what I'll be doing, is I'll be just making the drive to North Myrtle early in the morning, go work out, and then come back. And then I've got all the time to hang out in the pool or go over to the beach and do whatever. So the workout routine doesn't change. So it's a nice little hole in the wall gym that I like to frequent when I come down to the beach.
So next week when he comes on the show, he's probably going to be like really depressed because he's not at the beach anymore.
Well, that's how I always am when I come back from the beach. You come back to reality, and you know there's no more ocean and stuff like that. So it's, yeah, but it's quite nice. It's a little paradise down here.
One game they probably don't have down there, and I wish they would be Raztan. I remember playing that in the arcade, and it seemed like that was one of the arcade games that it felt like had this like really pumping surround sound that you were just engrossed in it, because Raztan was my version of playing He-Man in the arcade, a barbarian warrior with a sword. So if you see Raztan, you definitely got to get some footage of that. Maybe get up close, see if you can hear the sound.
Yeah, I'll get footage of everything when I go. Like I said, if I don't go tonight, I'll be definitely going tomorrow evening, because when I go, I'm going to spend quite a lot of time in the arcade, because last year I went twice, tried to play as much as I could, and I went back the second day because it was raining, and I made sure I beat Spider-Man. I just sat there and just played 45 minutes and beat the entire game. So this time I'm probably going to go and beat X-Men. I'll probably beat Spider-Man again, play Turtles in Time. It was so cool because last year when I went, there was just a total stranger, a guy looked like he's probably my age, playing Turtles in Time. I'm like, hey, man, you mind if I join in? And I told him, we both got killed because playing the arcade version is a lot harder than playing Super Nintendo. And like, it was so cool in the arcade. You would team up with a total stranger, and you feel like, you know, it's like superheroes. Like, you just kind of bump into each other, and you got to team up, and you got to fight all the bad guys. It was one of the cool things about playing in an arcade, is that you and a total stranger would like become buddies temporarily because you're trying to beat, you know, WrestleFest or The Simpsons.
One game I didn't like playing in the arcade was when they had Contra put into the arcade and somebody joined you, because I hated that one level. You'd always have that one dipshit that would try to like go to the top when you're going up the levels, and if you don't go up far enough, you're dead. And I always had to wait for people, but I figured if I got behind, it's like, you wait, and they kept going, it's like, wait, those fucking people's like, oh god, why did this person join in?
I could see Joe sitting there just like, what are you doing? Come on, here's all these tips, you gotta keep up.
Exactly. No, like I said, if I didn't want to take the lead, I'd sometimes let others do stuff, but I figured they have common sense, and they do. I was like, oh, Jesus. So I never wanted to play Contra with anybody in the arcade. It's like, you guys stay away while I just keep playing this myself.
Tyler, make sure you take hand sanitizer, because people are gross.
Oh, I know. I know I will. I keep it with me at all times anyway. So
take Clorox wipes and just wipe off the joystick.
I have like a big packet of Clorox wipes hanging out of my
Have tight gloves. Have some real tight gloves that you there wear while you play the game.
I mean, I gotta have like, you know, good texture so I can hit those buttons like really fast when I'm trying to punch and kick and all that stuff. So I can't. I'd rather just deal with the germs when I'm done playing.
And just wipe the snot off to the side if anybody was just sneezing there. Yeah,
not like kids playing. Like occasionally you'll see like kids and they're playing with like their dad, but for the most part it's like adults playing all those games.
As long as you'll see that one ass, like you go to the bathroom and you see a guy take a crap or a piss and he walks out of the bathroom, doesn't wash his hands, and then suddenly he's right there on the game that you wanted to play. It's, oh god, now I got a shit.
If that happens, if he I don't think it'll be a problem if he does it to the Spider-Man or the X-Men game, because I've got multiple like joysticks you can put a quarter in and play on. But if it was like Mortal Kombat or Contra, I'm like, okay, great, I'm not playing that game, man. That's right. Fingers.
Oh shit. So man, well, it's, I hope you continue to have a great time. It's awesome, man. So you keep having a
Like I said, as soon as I get the video, I'll send it to Nathan, and Nathan can upload it. Maybe play like the music when Indiana Jones like recovers the Holy Grail and like heals his father. Like that's the kind of music we need to play when I'm like walking.
So I can get some copyright strikes on the channel.
Well, just put in like a couple of techno, you know, rhythms in there or something.
I think I already have one of those generic free songs in mind that would sound pretty good for it.
Yeah, give some sort of 80s vibe or something like that if you can.
I'll try. I'll see what I can do. But I look forward to getting that video from you. And like Joe said, I hope that you have a good time.
I mean, there is a video of it on YouTube already, like someone of like them advertising it, but I'll take one. I just really
Fuck that video. Yeah. I'm going to make a better one.
I'll take a brand new one.
But yeah, like Joe said, have a good time, relax, all that good shit.
Thank you.
Go find you a hot chick on the beach.
All right.
Inadvertently cause an issue, and then there's a fight, and you're Daniel. The other person's like Johnny. It's like, oh shit, this is how the movie started.
Wait, say that one more time, Joe.
No, I said just make sure if you do meet a hot girl, you don't inadvertently have it cause an issue like with Johnny and Daniel, like at the beginning of Karate Kid and shit, and like, oh man, how did this all happen?
Johnny and his dirt bike gang come down to the beach. He's like, you know what? I think I'm more than capable of, like, all right, you want? Let's do this.
All right. Nathan,
I don't like confrontation either, but I'll be damned if I'm going to back down from a Cobra Kai fight on the beach.
And, all right. I know Joe's about to like wrap me up and get me into the little spiel, but does anyone have any final thoughts before I go into it?
No, I did my final thoughts already.
Tyler, anything else you would like to add on Cobra Kai?
It's definitely the best thing I've seen in a long time. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that I'll always go back and rewatch. It's the stuff that has like an impact or influence on you when you're done watching it. So, and I told Nathan, I said, when I get that Cobra Kai tank top, I got me a Cobra Kai headband too. So I'll probably wear that on the podcast frequently. It's just honoring, you know, the Karate Kid and Cobra Kai and just celebrating the show in general. So whereas Joe wears the mask all the time, I'll probably be wearing like a black headband and a Cobra Kai tank top pretty frequently.
Now I got to come up with a gimmick.
Yeah.
I don't know what it would be. Like just do the Samantha Terrible name thing over and over again. What's that, Tyler?
Get your shirt that says Sam sucks.
No. We've given that name enough attention on this show. I'm probably not going to do that ever again. I'm sure.
Okay.
I'm being listened to right now. Like, what the fuck was that all about?
Mm-hmm. Say, Joe did it. Joe pushed me. Blame Joe. Please. It's all my fault that you can hear me.
Perspectives.
Exactly. It's all my fault. So go ahead, Nathan, wrap us up and make sure you try to tell people we got to get to 40 subscribers at least. We're at 39. Somebody hit that damn subscribe button at the bottom. Let's get us to 40 if you're not a subscriber already. And then he's going to tell you all the other stuff you got to do.
Yeah, make sure also when you hit that subscribe button that you hit that bell that's beside of it as well. That way when we go live, you get a notification to let you know that, hey, show's going on. Make sure you click in the description below because we'll have the audio version from Podbean when that's posted. I'll put that in there. I'll also put the link for the audio archive. So if you don't want to go back and watch all the videos on the channel, give that a click and download all the other episodes, put it on your iPod, run on the beach like Tyler's going to do later, like in the Rocky films.
Yeah, and like this video and share this video too.
Yeah. Share it on Facebook. We got the Facebook page in the link as well. So go ahead and give that page a like because Tyler's always adding stuff to that, changing the cover photo, putting the link to the show, adding the Podbean link on there as well. Email us beyondretro84@gmail.com. If you have any, like, if you don't feel like commenting, you're not confident enough to comment on the video, go ahead and send us an email. If there's something you want us to cover, if you have any feedback, if you don't like the tank top Tyler's wearing today, if you think he needs to get bigger, let us know.
Yeah, it's like, you need to cut some weight, or you know what, you getting small, like how Mr. Perfect used to, right, you know, rib guys back in the 80s, like going up telling Warlord, are you sick? You something wrong with you? You look awfully small. And then Warlord goes and puts more steroids in his ass. Yeah, it's a great story.
Joe, was there anything I left out?
Nope. I think you did it all this time. You hit everything. You covered everything from the emails, the Facebook, to the like, subscribe, ringing the bell, and all that stuff, and sharing. I think you did every bit of it. So we can always do what we always say and thank every single person in the chat room for joining us. I hope you enjoyed this episode as well, and hope you're here next week for us too. And we haven't figured out that topic yet, but you know what? It always usually comes to us quick. And if you ever had suggestions, just like Nathan says, go ahead and let us know. Like, hey, you want us to talk about this, that, whatever? You let us know.
Yeah, and then we'll just be like, nah, we ain't doing that.
Like, oh yeah, you want us to talk about that movie? Okay, we ain't talking about that shit. Yeah, exactly.
It's going to have to be a topic that's going to lift Tyler's spirits because he's probably going to be down next weekend. When are you coming back? Leaving on like Saturday and then you'll be back? Or
I don't know if mean, that's when we all have to leave, is Saturday. But I may, because of, like, all the stuff I got to do for work when I go back to work, I may leave Friday. So that way I can get home early, and that way I can get all my grocery shopping done and all the laundry and stuff like that. You know, get all that stuff ready for the next work week, so I don't have to cram it in Saturday and like Saturday evening and Sunday. You know, I like to have a little downtime before going back to work. So I'll either be home early Saturday or late Friday or something like that. I'm not sure which. Just all because, right. Like I said, when I get off vacation, I like to have a little downtime before going back to work. Like, don't like to just immediately just jump right back into it. So.
Okay. Well, we got two quick things. One, I was going to say, Chris Simpson said, we got thrifty tips from Joe. We got workout tips from Swole Tyler. What's Nathan's expertise?
We got to figure that out.
All right, Chief, we'll figure out something. All right, and also JSP brought up, he said, yeah, maybe we could talk about Ash versus Evil Dead. I'm going to feel bad to say that I have not seen that series yet.
I haven't either. I've just been so kind of burnt out on the whole Ash Evil Dead stuff for years because it just felt like it's just been overplayed so much. I'm like, I enjoy Army of Darkness to death. Evil Dead's all right. I haven't seen all of Evil Dead 2, but I just kind of, I'm just kind of whatever about Evil Dead in general.
I'm going to feel bad even asking this. That is a TV series, right? It's a series,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah. And I haven't. The last thing I ever got in somewhat of that department was when I read the Freddy versus Jason versus Ash comic book. But as for the series, I haven't seen it. So he says it's a fantastic show, but I'll take your word. I'll have to see it. But yeah, I feel bad. I haven't seen that yet.
I've watched the first season, and it's good. I need to watch. I have season two on Blu-ray, and I think those first two seasons are on Netflix.
Oh, it's a Netflix thing?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, well, they put them on Netflix. It's a Starz show, and the first two seasons, I assume they're still on there.
How many seasons they've done so far?
Well, they just finished the third one, and they canceled the show, so...
Oh, well, I'll watch it on Netflix. I do have Netflix, not because I pay for it, but I get, you know, how you get a password from somebody or whatever. Yeah. So I can see that.
Yeah. I check and see, because I saw them on there, because I have the Blu-rays. I'm like, oh, it's on Netflix. That's awesome. Because it's good that's on there, because it brings more eyes to it. Because no one's like, yeah, I'm going to get a subscription to Starz just so I can watch this. I either pirated it, sorry, internet, or what's that, Tyler?
That's just what Nathan does, man. I've gotten so many pirated things from Nathan.
He's the guy. Nathan's the guy. We need that hookup.
There you go. There's my expertise.
Yeah, one we don't want to brag about, I guess.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Jake Juggalo says, shame, shame, shame.
I haven't done it as much as I used to.
Oh, crap.
Nathan's gone straight. He's not dabbling in lifestyle until it like pulls him back in. You're kind of like with John Wick. He's like the John Wick of black marketing, you know. When he does come back, he's just visiting, you know.
And that's right.
Yeah, if there wasn't the free trial thing, I imagine Joe was going to be like, hey, man, what can you do to get me that Cobra Kai? I'm like, oh, go again.
Nathan's going to go and uncover like all of his old like burning and equipment down in the basement that's been buried. And, you know, and then he, you know, kind of gives me gold coins just to, like, you know, I don't know why, but he was had to find some reason for it, Nathan, to give me gold coins, you know, or something like that. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't really have to.
I think John Wick would be a good topic to eventually cover.
Oh, we're hearing the dogs. They're feeling the end of the show. That wasn't you?
No, I think that was something in Tyler's background.
Probably.
Probably.
All right, but well, it was good. So yes. I think we did everything we could. So I don't know how you want to roll. We already wrapped it up. So see you guys next week.
Yeah, see you next week. Tyler, any? Yeah, there he goes. I can barely hear him, but he said, see ya.
See right? Ya. You hear me?
Yeah, now, yeah, there we go. That's the show. I'm going to, we're turning it off now. See you guys next week.